You're listening to Make the Game with Matt Hackett.
Welcome to Make the Game. My name is Matt Hackett. I'm pumped up today. I'm excited to be covering a topic I care a lot about and that I was happy to get multiple questions regarding. Making big indie games, or how to graduate from game jams to bigger games. Here's a question from Phil.
Hi, Matt. My name is Phil. I'm calling from Perth in Western Australia. Firstly, congratulations on the book and the new podcast. I've really enjoyed the episode so far. I saw you were calling for questions, so I've got one for you. What are some of the tips that you have for graduating from a more like game jammy game scope to something more fully fledged, like a commercial release? I've made several game jam games now, and I'm kind of thinking about a larger project. I've got a few ideas up my sleeve, but just wondering if there's any workflow tips or tools or, you know, anything that you can advise on people that want to take that next step into game development. Anyway, thanks again for the episodes and looking forward to listening to more. Bye.
And one from Chris.
Matt, it's Chris. Love what you're doing, man. Keep it up. I had a question about, basically, people are always saying restriction breeds creativity and, you know, keep it simple and all this stuff. And I find that, of course, easiest in prototyping games. But how do you make a big game? I'd argue that Wizard's Lizard was a big game, and even Witchy, your 7-day roguelike, was a big game. Indie Game Sim was a big game. They had multiple levels and mechanics and stuff like that. How do you go from building these small, concise experiences, you know, like kind of what you've done at Play-Doh, to doing something, you know, fairly larger of having multiple systems and screens and levels? Anyway, I'd love to hear it, man. Thanks, and you're doing great work. Bye.
Thank you both for the questions. This is one of my favorites. It's taken me a while to answer because I'm answering in the form of a 44-page ebook and 12 video tutorials. Whoops. It was supposed to be a 30-minute episode of Make the Game, but making big games is all about blowing up your scope, right? Go big or go home. This tutorial package is called Making Big Indie Games, and you can buy it right now. Right now. I'll wait. Seriously, it's on Gumroad and Itch. No. I do want you to get it, but we are going to cover how to make big games in this episode. First, let's get on the same page about what we're talking about here. A big game to one person might not actually be big to someone else. So let's define it. This is video 2 out of 12 in Making Big Indie Games, and I'm just going to embed the whole thing right here. Enjoy.
So, what makes a big indie game? Whether a game is big or not is subjective and different for everybody, so for our purposes, let's define what big game means. 4 points here. Number 1, provides hours of gameplay. Number 2, it's a worthy challenge. Number 3, you're comfortable charging money for it. And number 4, it has life-changing potential. Let's expand on these. First of all, we want a game that offers hours of gameplay, making it a significant time investment for players. A big game feels large and imposing, not thin or trivial to play through. Also, these 4 points. Your game is so big that players can get lost in your game, easily burning through an afternoon or an evening. Players can start projects within your game or otherwise get tangled up in the fun of activities. Your game is big enough for you to completely avoid any emotional sting if someone complains that it's too short. If it's big enough that you feel short proof, you're on the right track. Your big game helps with Steam's 2-hour refund window if that's important to you and you're launching on Steam. That's a big factor. When games feel too short or too small, players often will review bomb those. Most of my big games have had areas where the player can casually goof around without any risk or pressure. Depending on your design, this could range from an entryway screen with no dangers to some creative space where players can experiment or express themselves. One example is my game Indie Game Sim. The whole game is basically a huge map editor. It's really easy to get lost and just have fun making maps. Point 2, it's a worthy challenge. You may be craving a substantial project, something you can really sink your teeth into. Small games aren't doing it for you anymore, right? You're hungry and a few tiny morsels of prototypes and game jams aren't really satiating your appetite anymore. Like Frodo in Lord of the Rings, you want to travel to Mordor and throw the ring into the fires of Mount Doom. You want to embark on a big game development project. Let's do it. You want the hidden truth, though? It's not about the game. It's about you. You want the project to change you. When I talk to people who want to make big games, oftentimes they don't really know it, but what they really want is an epic journey where they toil, struggle, fail, learn, and improve, coming out the other end a better developer, and hopefully wielding a shiny new video game. If this is true for you, make sure your big game concept can provide this challenge you seek. If your excitement for a given concept is capable of burning out over a weekend, it isn't worthy of your hunger for adventure. Seek another concept that meets your needs. Another really important element is that you're comfortable charging money for it. I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe you just want to make a big free open source game. But most developers I talk to want to make a big game and hopefully make some money from their labor. Totally reasonable. From my experience, the key is to be comfortable with your price. If you truly honestly believe that your $5 game is not worth $5, you'll be too ashamed to push it and you won't sell it well. It either needs to feel easily worth that amount to you or you should lower your price. Also, if you simply will never be excited about making a $1 sale, then likewise, you won't be properly motivated to sell your game. If your itch is to make a $30 game, maybe secretly your favorite game is on Steam for 30 bucks, and that's kind of what your itch is about, is trying to meet that bar. You need to meet that, or you'll remain itchy. The key here is to make a game that's scoped to be worth the smallest amount of money that you'd be excited to price your game. This aligns your motivations and gives you power. Here's a helpful thought experiment. What's the bare minimum you could charge and still be satisfied? It's a tough question to ask yourself. Back in 2014, for me, that amount was $15 USD. In 2016, it was $8. Today in 2022, everybody's talking about hyper-casual and games like Vampire Survivors, which is a hit indie game priced at just $3. Maybe for you, you'd be happy with a mobile game on the Google Play Store for $1. Dig deep, asking yourself what the lowest number is for you, then try to make a game worth that much. Just be sure to value your work. There's a race to the bottom with prices recently, but some indies encourage you to price aggressively. Keep in mind that a higher price means you have more room to discount your game, put it on sale. Whatever your lowest number is, draw a line in the sand and commit to charge at least that amount for your game, or you know, equivalent IAP in-app purchase if you're going that freemium kind of route. Whatever your equivalent is for charging an amount for your game. Own it unashamedly. Remind yourself that your work is valuable and you deserve compensation for your good work. Once you have that number for yourself, your job is to design a concept where you'd be perfectly comfortable charging that amount for your game without any hesitation or without any guilt. This is one of my secrets. I made a complete game called Expansion. It's like expansion, but with eggs. Expansion. One of my goals with this project was to release it as a paid game, but in its current state, I don't think it's worth enough to scratch my itch. It's not an exciting game right now. To me, it's worth maybe $1, and that's not really enough to get me out of bed in the morning right now with that project. You know what I mean? So in my workshop, it sits. And I think that with another month or two or three of development, it could be a game that's worth $3, $5, $10 in my mind. And so it's on me to revisit that project and find a way for me to reconcile trying to make a profit with it. Expansion directly led to another project that I believe has way more potential and that overall I'm much happier with. Each of our games is a link in a long chain we create over time. We're going to get into this more when we talk about building a workshop. The last point about your game is a big one, maybe the most important one. It has life-changing potential. Not all of our projects are meant to go big. Some are meant to be small. Some are meant to be abandoned. There's never a guarantee that any project will take off, but you want that possibility, right? You want its chance of success to be as high as possible. Think of launching your game as purchasing a lottery ticket. You're investing in it up front via money or time with the hope that it'll return on that investment eventually. A small game usually has a lower reward ceiling and is less likely to strike gold. A big game is like buying a higher value lottery ticket that also has a better chance of paying off. That's one of the appealing traits that lures us indie developers to bigger games. When you get the chance, watch a video called Darius Kazemi, Tiny Subversions XOXO Festival 2014, where he talks about how each project you launch is sort of like a lottery ticket. A big game could change your life in multiple ways. Here are five examples. It connects you with cool people who love your work. It makes your portfolio really stand out, leading to contract work. It is the reason you land a sweet job in the games industry. Maybe it makes a decent profit. Wow. Or lastly, it sells like wildfire and you can happily retire. This is happening to indie developers rarely, but it happens, you know, today. It happens all the time. Let's go through some examples, some life-changing examples that I've experienced. So the first one is a game called Onslaught Arena, which Jeff Blair and Joshua Morris and I made in 2010. Onslaught Arena is not a very well-known game, and it's not that big, but it's big enough to hit most of these points. Onslaught Arena not only made tens of thousands of dollars in consumer sales and B2B licenses, but was also kind of like a portfolio piece for us. It allowed Jeff Blair and myself to walk right into our first full-time game developer jobs without so much as an interview. That's a life-changing benefit. The biggest one is the game I'm going to be talking about the most, probably, is a Wizard's Lizard. A Wizard's Lizard earns LDG $250,000 in a couple of years, thanks to loyal players and streams from big names like Northern Lion. That was life-changing. That enabled our indie careers for several years. That's huge. I also want to point out that some of our big projects aren't really going to have a significant change on our lives. One example for me is Indie Game Sim. I took a big swing, and it was a first base hit at best. And that's okay, because they're kind of like lottery tickets again. And we want our big games to have the potential to change our lives for the better, but that's no guarantee it's going to happen. We just want to set ourselves up for success. So given all that, what is our big game definition in the indie context? All right, it's kind of wordy, but let's define it as a game you made that provides hours of gameplay, feels like a worthy challenge that you're comfortable charging money for, and that has the potential to change your life for the better. Sounds great, right? Let's get started. All right, I hope you liked that. If you did, go buy it. That video is a pretty good indicator of what you can expect from the package. So now that we're on the same page about what a big game means to us, let's talk about the steps I actually take to make the game. I'm giving it all away here. How to make a big game, which is a tight 2 minutes. It's a summary that covers the upcoming material. This is video 3 of 12 in making big indie games. How to make a big game. Now that we know what we're building towards, let's discuss how to do it. Here are the steps I follow to make a big game. Step 1 of 6, align your output, where you take your interests and your hobbies and you try to funnel all that energy into one game project. Number 2, build your workshop, where you consolidate your tech and you build out the features that you think you're going to need for your big game. Number 3 is manage your risk, where you hedge your bets and you do some research to figure out what can expect after launching your game. Number 4, design your process. I've got my own development process, and I'm going to walk you through that, but I think that you're going to want to tweak it, because everybody's different, and games are so vast, it's hard to find a one-size-fits-all solution. Number 5, brand your game. A lot of indies kind of stumble with this step, because it's really hard to come up with a cool brand and characters with personality, but when you go the extra mile to do this stuff, it really puts your game ahead And that's important in this crowded space. Lastly, number six is plan your launch. A lot of indies these days just barrel towards the finish line and they get their game done. And by the time they get there, they're exhausted. And maybe a week, maybe a month out tops, they start to think, oh no, I need a development plan or a marketing plan. You need to launch your game. So we're going to talk a little bit about how to plan for your launch to make sure it gets a good up to bat. You want to set your game up for success. So that's what all we're going to cover. Let's get into it.
All right. Those are the six steps that I take to make a big indie game. Each of those has their own video. Design Your Process is one of my favorite videos in this package. And continuing the trend of giving it all away, here are the 8 points I follow once I actually start development. Number one, see the finish line clearly, where you only commit to a big game project when there are no huge blockers and it's all clear skies. Two, flatten your path where you gain the experience you'll need for your big game ahead of time. Three, connect pre-built systems where you're acting more like a plumber connecting pipes than a manufacturer creating pipes. Build the beginning, middle, and end so you can get a complete snapshot of your concept. Be a fast and prolific decision maker where during development, you are not stumbling because you've answered all of your questions ahead of time. Polish as you go, where you are maintaining constantly shippable code and never creating more work for yourself. Streamline your content pipeline, where you enable yourself to crank out content, and then pace yourself. Take breaks during this long, big game marathon. Obviously, the videos dig into that stuff more. If you dig the idea behind making big indie games, go buy it. I think you'll like it. It's a great way to support me and this show, and buying it sends me a clear signal that I should make more stuff like this. That's it for this episode. Thanks for being here. There are more questions in the queue, which we will get into in future episodes. And you can send me your own audio questions at anchor.fm/make the game. And I'll probably answer future questions with just a simple podcast and not a whole tutorial package, but no promises. You never know with me. Hey, if you enjoyed the last couple episodes with my 3D AAA brother, John, check out our live streams where we riff on game development, art, movies, and more. I'll put a link in the show notes. You are being played out appropriately by Video Game Blockbuster, which you are free to use in your own projects. Now it's time for you to go make the big game.